Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Sky Sports News, and breaking news reaching us here involving Arsenal captain Cesc Fabregas. Our sources tell us that Fabregas is in a Barcelona hospital having a medical right now, and a deal could be completed by the end of the day. He's been accompanied there by his DNA manager, that's Xavi, to make sure that his genes are 100% compatible with Barcelona. So a 5-year, £200,000 a week deal on the table. Some quotes coming in from Gerard Piqué, who says, I can't wait for Fabregas to be a Barcelona player. He's a great player. And when he comes, we're going to have sleepovers in my house. And we're going to stay up late drinking fizzy pop and watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And my mum can't do anything about it because I've got my own house right now. But where does it leave Arsenal after a summer of speculation? Clearly the only way is down now for Arsene Wenger's men. And pundits are predicting relegation.
Hello there. A brand new football season is about to kick off. A brand new season of the Arsecasts just has. With brand new theme music too, thanks to Johnny Massacre and the Twin Vulcan crew based on the original theme tune by the fabulous people at theWayOut.co.uk. In a way, it's kind of like having a new shirt, isn't it? You need to update things every now and again, and by shirt I mean, you know, a proper football shirt, not the kind of shirt that you would wear to work. Certainly not the kind of shirt that's blue and white pinstripes, which has the all-white collar and the all-white cuffs. Because those shirts make me angry, for reasons I can't go into right now. They are an abomination. But Arsenal's new shirt this season is quite a thing of beauty. Red and white sleeves, it's very simple. It would make you wonder why and how they get it wrong so often. Particularly the last home shirt did not great at all. This is a trophy-winning shirt. And let's hope it lives up to its billing. So, I hope you're all well. Hope you've had a good summer. Of course, we've been chatting via the blog and all that kind of stuff, but no Arsecasting since the end of last season. And towards the end of last season, I was hoping to do a sort of a round table. You know, the end of season discussion, and, you know, it just was all a bit too miserable to do it. It wasn't a discussion that I think any of us would be terribly happy to have, and I can't imagine anybody would have got a great deal of pleasure from listening to it. So we scrapped that idea altogether. So we haven't had any Arsecast for a while. I was actually going to do a roundtable for the start of the season. But then, after some Thinking and discussions with the other participants, we decided it would be better to wait until we had a proper idea of the strength and depth and makeup of this particular squad, because we could do the round table now and make all kinds of assumptions and predictions based on what we've got. But when we sign all these new players in the next few weeks before the end of the transfer window, it would make us all look very foolish indeed. Seriously, though, we'll wait till the end of the month and the transfer window closes, and then we'll have a better idea of where this squad is. At the moment, it's in a slightly worrying place, but we'll come to that a bit later on. So I know many of you would be expecting me throughout the summer to be sitting down and working on various things for the Arsecast, and the frustration for me, more than anything, I know everyone's frustrated that we haven't made any new signings. I am particularly frustrated, not just from a football point of view, but because it's good to have new people come along and possibly new characters for the Arsecast. There's not much mileage to be had out of Koscielny, really, when you think about it. I don't know anything about him, or what he might be, or, you know, his name doesn't quite fit with a 70s camp disco icon. We don't know if he can score with his penis yet. These are all terribly important factors when it comes to making podcasts every week. And then there's our other signing. I'm thinking, what possibly could we do with Marouane Chamakh? There aren't too many French, Moroccan cultural icons out there that you could play him off against. Chamakh Attack. Like the old band Shaq Attack. But then who knows Shaq Attack these days? Certainly not the young kids. Chamakh. Barack. Chamakh. Chamakh Obama.
Well, welcome everybody. Please have a seat. Have a seat. It is wonderful to see all of you.
You killed our pelicans, you British asshole.
So as you can hear, there's really not very much going on with that. Not a great deal of mileage at all. So while we wait for the signings to happen, and I do believe they'll happen, I'm clinging on to that faint hope with my no fingernails, I would urge the football club, the manager, and Ivan Gazidis, I would urge them to look not only at the ability of the player that they're thinking of bringing to the club, not only his talent, his application, his desire, his ability, his ambition, and his injury record, of course. I would urge them to look beyond that and think about his comedy potential as well. They could do that, bring in a couple of players before the end of the season. Everything would be hunky-dory. So the other big thing we've had this summer is the whole Cesc Fabregas thing. And I don't think it's really worth addressing in the podcast, other than to say Xavi is a cunt. Iniesta, he's a cunt. Puyol, he's a cunt. Gerard Piqué, he's a cunt. Messi, he's a cunt. Joan Laporta, he's a cunt. Every other Barcelona player who talked about Cesc, cunt. Every Barcelona official who talked about him, cunt. El Mundo, cunt. Like a collective, cunt. Sport, the other Spanish Catalan newspaper, cunt. The Daily Mail, cunt. Not for anything they particularly did about Fabregas, but just because they are the Daily Mail. And I think that pretty much sums it up, to be honest. Not sure what else we can say. He's staying at the club. He's our captain, and he's one of the best players in the world, and we should be happy to have him. So, as I said, things squad-wise a little bit funny. Lots of injuries and stuff, and we'll discuss those a little bit later on. Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog will be joining me to discuss the Liverpool game. But because it is the Liverpool game, who better to talk to than the Mug Smasher? Hello there.
Hello there.
For the people who don't know why the Mug Smasher is called the Mug Smasher, it's because many years ago he smashed my favourite Arsenal mug and showed no remorse whatsoever. And to this day, shows little remorse for such a heinous act.
I think I bought you a replacement a few years ago.
It broke.
Yeah, you broke it yourself.
No, it just broke on its own. Yeah. It started leaking. No, you did, in fact, buy me a fine pewter one, which is there behind, full of pens.
No, I forgot about that.
I should quaff ale from that.
You really should.
I should.
Mead.
So how are you?
I'm okay. Pretty good.
Are you looking forward to the new season?
I am.
You are Certainly looking forward to it more than you were towards the end of last season, where I sensed a certain frustration with the whole game of football from you.
Yeah, last season was a bit horrendous. I switched off a little bit, to be honest.
Mm. Are you glad to see the back of Rafa?
I am, yeah. At least I think we may play some attractive football now, which would be a refreshing change for us.
Mm.
And I got sick of his politics, really, a long, long time ago, so...
He was a bit mental, wasn't he, really?
He's mad, yeah. I mean, he's single-minded, and you know, some of the decisions he made were political and not football, and they were to the detriment of the team, and it was obvious. So as soon as that started happening, I think he had to go a long time ago.
Robbie Keane and all that kind of stuff?
Robbie Keane and just certain choices where he would play poor teams as if to prove a point, you know, and sacrifice league points.
Mm.
Everyone's talked enough about it, really, but I'm glad to see the back of him. He did good stuff for the club, and you know, he'll be remembered well, but he needed to go a long time ago.
And what about Woy? Is he the white man?
He seems to be. He's the best we could have hoped for in the situation, and he's saying all the right things. He's managed to hold on to Gerrard and Torres, which is brilliant.
Mm. Even Gerrard, because I know you, I've heard you launch expletives in the direction of Gerrard. Quite regularly.
Well, it's hard not to. When you watch how he played last season, you know, he was a disgrace. Mm. I don't know how he was captain of the football club, to be fair. I mean, he was shocking. But hopefully he'll get his act together now and start playing like a grown-up.
Yeah, at 30, yeah.
Maybe.
He probably should.
I mean, he's done it in the past. We know he's capable of it.
Yeah.
And he can be an amazing player when he wants to be, when he puts his mind to it. So hopefully all those tensions are gone. Roy keeps saying nice things and sensible things, you know.
Mm.
So,
not going to go in and rock the boat, certainly.
I don't think so. And, you know, he's pretty pragmatic in what he says, and he doesn't seem to talk rubbish.
Mm. And obviously Torres is important because he's about the only striker you've got, really. I know that N'Gog is there and this new guy, Jovanovic. Torres, though, very important. And were you at all surprised that he stayed, or... You know, there doesn't seem to have been the will for anybody really to go after him.
Oh, I think people were after him, all right, yeah.
Yeah, but did anyone put any money up, proper money?
I have no idea. I mean, I really haven't paid that much attention to anything
right. Since
about a year and a half ago. It's been that bad. But, I mean, Torres seems to... I mean, I don't doubt that he would have left if circumstances had been different, but he seems to have a genuine affection for the club and the city, so...
Mm.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, if things go pretty badly this season, then I don't see him sticking around, but it's good to have him here.
All right. And I suppose the big signing of the summer was Joe Cole.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard says anything Messi can do, Joe Cole can do, but probably better, and with his mouth open.
Yeah.
They've obviously got some good stuff at the training ground.
Did he actually say that? I didn't see any quotes. I just saw headlines. So.
Yeah, I didn't read it either. But I'm just paraphrasing and making it sound like he said something probably worse than he did.
It's ludicrous.
But what do you make of him as a signing? Because obviously Arsenal were after him. There's a lot of talk about Arsenal being after him, Spurs being after him, two clubs that could have offered him Champions League football in London. Were you surprised that he ended up at Liverpool?
A little bit, yeah, when he had those choices.
Because he's never been particularly popular among Liverpool fans, has he?
No, he always scored against us. Mm. Always scored the winners. I hate the little fucker, to be honest. And I think he should stand up a little bit more and stop fucking falling over.
Mm.
Hopefully he does
that. About a few footballers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a whingy little bitch. But I think compared to Benny Yoon, he's probably a little bit more productive while playing a similar role or a similar style of football.
That's so an odd sort of... exchange of players in the end, wasn't it? The way Benny Yoon went to Chelsea.
And yeah, we got 6 million for Benny Yoon and paid nothing
for
Joe Cole. It seems like a good deal to me. And he is a feisty little fella, you know. He will get stuck in and I think he'll give it a good bash.
He's got an enormous head as well.
He does that, yeah.
For his body, it's probably quite normal size.
Maybe that's why he falls over so much. The centre of gravity is somewhere between his eyes.
What did you make as somebody who looked on as a complete neutral, what did you make of what happened this summer with Cesc Fabregas and the constant talking from Barcelona and everything else? And Arsenal's stance on it as well, the way they've dealt with it.
I think I'd have feelings similar to well, maybe not quite as strong, but similar to yours, in that Barcelona behaved pretty poorly. The jersey stunt was really, really cheap. And doing that to a friend, it just puts him in a really bad position, and I would have slapped the head off them.
Yeah,
I would have got pretty violent with them.
Yeah, but that's more in your character than Fabregas, perhaps. I think.
Yeah, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, he kept his mouth shut all summer, which was good. And that was really well done. And it's kind of good for football that Arsenal is stuck to their guns, but it does appear a little bit inevitable that he will probably go next season, barring something amazing happening at Arsenal.
Well, this is the same with the Torres thing, isn't it? That it's tied into success. That players don't want to leave a team that's winning things. They won't leave a successful team.
No.
Even regardless of the fact that he's got a lure, of course, to Barcelona, which we all know about. And I think at some stage in his career, we all accepted that he was going to go play there. But maybe not quite as soon as it's transpired this summer. So, you know, from that point of view, it's all down to what the teams do. So for Liverpool, if they're going to be successful, get back into the Champions League, Torres, you know, could well stay. Same with Fabregas. If Arsenal can win something, he'll be quite happy to stay.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it looks sort of more likely that Fabregas would leave, barring Arsenal winning the league. I don't know. Maybe if you make real strides this season, but I don't see that happening.
Yes.
There's been a lack of signings down your way.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. How do you view the Arsenal squad at the moment?
I don't know. I think it's kind of poor. Not poor. I mean, I'm not really in a position to talk because we're particularly flaky, but I think it could be bad. I think you could finish outside the top four this season.
You think so?
I do.
What would you need to see, or who would you need to see come in? Not necessarily names, but where would you need to see players come in for that not to be an issue? Because Arsenal as an attacking threat, I think, are as good as anybody.
A centre half, a central midfielder, and a striker.
A striker?
A striker, not a number 10.
But we've got Shamak. We brought in Shamak.
Yeah, all right.
So he's a striker, and Van Persie's a striker.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Shamak, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, all right.
Yeah, he's unproven. Okay, well then, central midfield and central defence for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and defensive midfielder, someone who can break up play. Flamini, for example.
A Flamini type player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Flamini.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not, no.
Probably not. Talk of him going to Liverpool, actually.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah. What do you make of the Arsenal goalkeeping situation? Because you're quite blessed in the sense that you've got Pepe Reina, who is certainly one of the best goalkeepers in England. What do you make of the Arsenal goalkeepers? And if, for example, you were going into the game on Sunday, potentially playing a goalkeeper like Lukasz Fabianski, how would you be feeling?
As a Liverpool fan?
Yeah.
Optimistic, I'd imagine.
No, but if Liverpool were playing a goalkeeper like Fabianski, how would you be?
Terrified.
That's terrified.
Almunia is the best keeper at the club. I think that Manoni fella, the Italian kid, looks like he could be good in a few years, but he's a few years away from it. So yeah, I'd be terrified. But we've got Pepe Reina. If he gets injured, we've got Cavalieri, this Brazilian guy, and he's a Fabianski type.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not very reliable, so.
Sunday, the opening game of the season. Are you confident?
No, confidence not the word, but I believe it's possible that we could win.
That's certainly sticking your neck on the line there.
it's been such a horrible season that I'm not confident about anything, but Arsenal aren't really organised at the moment. Fabregas and Van Persie are only back a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a good chance. We have a good chance, but I'm always fearful of that little mongoloid from Russia.
Yes, he does seem to like scoring against you.
Yeah, right. I'd like to kick the face off him.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't say I blame you.
No.
He pretty much screwed your title chances that night, didn't he?
He did a bit, four goals. Yeah. Yeah, but there you go. I've moved on slightly from that.
Slightly.
Yeah, I mean, If you put me on the line, I think Liverpool will win on Sunday. There you go. I said it.
All right. I have to wait and see who's playing in goal before I make any sort of prediction.
Well, you think if Almunia's in goal, you might not lose?
Yeah. And I think if Fabianski is in goal, we probably will lose.
Yeah. Just kick it at him as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And then follow it up.
Yeah. Or just stand anywhere near him. Did you see? You didn't see the game against Legia Warsaw at the weekend.
No.
The second goal Arsenal conceded, there was a corner, and they sort of they all crowd around Fabianski now because they know if you do that, he's a bit fucked. And he tripped over Vermaelen's leg and landed more or less on his face and watched the ball go in. It was disastrous. Your predictions for the season? We better leave it. But your prediction for the season for Liverpool?
I think we can get back to fourth. But maybe that's a bit optimistic.
Right. And for Arsenal?
For Arsenal, I think you might slip out of the top four.
Who's going to take our place?
Well, I don't
know.
Man
City?
It's worrying because it might be Man City. They have bought a few decent players. Yeah. And it's horrible to think that they might do it. But it might happen.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm only hopeful, and I'm sure all you Arsenal fans are as well, that Spurs get molested in the Champions League and it upsets them so badly that they finish about 12th.
Yeah, or 18th.
18th, yeah, well, that's not really going to happen.
No. Go bankrupt like all of Harry's other clubs. That'd be good.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. See, then again, you never know what's going to happen. Arsenal might, you may come second.
Mm.
But I think it's going to be a long, difficult season for you.
Who do you see winning the league?
Chelsea.
Again?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Despite what happened on last Sunday. I mean, that was a nothing game, really.
Yeah, but defensively, are they going to be all right without Carvalho?
I don't know. Alex seemed to do well last season, and Ivanovic stepped in when he was needed, so...
Mm.
I don't know, but they have to be the team to beat.
Yeah, all right. Well, if you finish above Chelsea, you're going to win it. Is that it?
I reckon so.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm frequently wrong about almost everything, so you could disregard that.
This is very true. All right, we'll leave it there. Well, best of luck. It's the opening day of the season. Best of luck. I hope the Mongi Russian does you in again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you later in the season, Mug Smasher. Thank you very much.
No problem.
I shall most likely on Sunday be watching the game with the Mug Smasher, and I hope at the end of it he is cursing Arshavin even more than he does. On a daily basis, I believe he swears about Arshavin. It affected him deeply, that four-goal thing at Anfield, you know. Still to come, Gilberto Silva from gunnerblog.com. Right now, for the first time this season, it's, the Mongi Russian.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and happy to be back. For a new season, Arshavin not go to World Cup, and at first I'm quite disappointed, but later, not so disappointed because it's the worst World Cup ever. Happy for Cesc to win World Cup, but not so happy that he has to spend time with, English word? Fucking bastard cunts like Barcelona players. But I have had a good summer, do normal summer thing with family, like picnic, holiday, get burned by sun, travel around Europe in unregistered camper van, picking up hitchhikers and putting bodies. Forget that bit. But we are back now in training, and pre-season training is very hard. Lot of running. Arshavin don't like so much the running. Mr. Wenger say if I don't run, he make roommate with Eboy. So I am running all the time. I am very, very tired now. But fit for Sunday. to play Liverpool at Anfield. Like very much to play there. It's like I am Michael Barrymore in the pitch. It's like swimming pool and Liverpool are guests at my party. Always score at Anfield, Arshavin. Hope to continue on Sunday. Otherwise, could be start of a long season.
More from Arshavin on Arscast in the future. Now, to get a more Arsenal perspective on the start of the season, the game coming up on Sunday at Anfield, and the state of the squad just at the moment, without being too definitive about everything, I welcome Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com. Hello there.
Hello. Happy new season.
And to you. How has your summer been?
It's been good. I was in South Africa, so it was very exciting. But I'm possibly more excited about the start of the new season. I cannot wait.
Shame there was no football in South Africa for you to look at while you were there.
I know, God, I know. It's sort of nothing going on at all, really. Someone said there were a few games, but I didn't notice any.
I didn't see it either. What about Arsenal's summer then? We've had a fairly long break since the end of May. Here we are, middle of August. It's all about to kick off again. How are you feeling in general about Arsenal, what we've done this summer, and the way the squad is right now?
I'm feeling a little bit apprehensive. Bit worried. It started well. We brought in a new player. Koscielny came in. Chamakh came in as well, but I think we all knew that was going to happen. And since then, it's been a bit alarming. All the centre-backs left. There was the great exodus of centre-backs and not that many have come in. We still don't really seem to have a goalkeeper that anybody has any faith in. It looks like Fabianski might play at the weekend, which is absolutely terrifying. But I mean, going forward, great at the back. Bit of a worry. It's funny how things change, isn't it?
It is, rather. I was going to talk maybe about the goalkeeper and centre-half situation, but I don't think there's any point because we're all very much agreed. It's rare that Arsenal fans, it's sort of like when the planets all line up in one straight line. Happens every 2 billion years or something. And it's happening at the moment with Arsenal fans. Because we all agree that we need a goalkeeper and we need a centre-half. You reckon Fabianski might start on Sunday, even though he's clearly not the best goalkeeper we have.
Yeah.
I watched a video of him playing for Poland against Cameroon on Wednesday night, and the first goal came from a corner, and again, he's sort of at the near post in no man's land, and the ball has gone in at the back post. Not too dissimilar for the goal from the goal we let in against Legia. How is it possible? Why is it even remotely possible that he's going to start on Sunday?
I don't know. Blackmail, maybe. I don't know. It's absurd. I mean, that will happen again and again to Fabianski. And he's built a real reputation for it now. He's best known for being crap at corners. So every team we encounter. I mean, Liverpool, if you think Roy Hodgson, who is quite an astute manager, hasn't worked at length on set pieces with them, of course he will have done. Of course he will have done. And it really worries me. Almunia's definitely better. I don't know why Wenger seems to feel otherwise. I mean, maybe you feel different, but I just feel that Wenger has this unshakable faith in Fabianski, as he has done in other players in the past and got it right. I remember Alex Song. He said, Alex Song will prove you all wrong. And to a degree, he has done. But Wenger's got a much better eye for outfield players, you know, and attacking players than he does goalkeepers. And I worry that he's really got this one wrong. And I think most Arsenal fans now would take anybody in between the sticks, just a sort of average Premier League goalkeeper.
Well, that's Schwarzer, isn't it? Because he is pretty much an average Premier League goalkeeper.
Yeah, and he does is sort of not do what Fabianski does. That is the best thing. The best thing about Schwarzer is that he is not Fabianski.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, a bit like saying, I don't know what it's a bit like saying, but that's a good thing. Do you know what I mean? It is a good thing that he doesn't do what Fabianski does, because what Fabianski does is pretty much terrible.
It's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. In the goalkeeping manual, that is sort of in the do nots section rather than the do's. And Schwarzer is a sort of 7 out of 10 for everything. Is better than Fabianski, who might be like a 9 out of 10 for shot stopping.
Except for the ones that he throws into his own goal, apart from those ones.
Depends on the shot.
Yeah.
So, but then he's a 1 or a 2 on everything else, sort of thing. But more than that, sometimes a player just he gets into a rut at a club. A bit like, you know, Diego Forlán at United. Forlán was obviously a good striker, better striker than Fabianski as a goalkeeper, I should say. But he got into a position whereby things just weren't working out from there. He became a target for fans. And Fabianski is now a target for fans and a target for other tactics and other managers. It's not going to happen for him here.
That is the thing, though, isn't it? Because it's one thing being a target for fans, and we've seen players, even in recent seasons, overcome that a little bit, because you look at Aboué, for example, who was a target for fans and now has grown into a cult hero of sorts because he's turned it around. But Fabianski is a target for other teams and for managers, and it's a weak link, and you know, it's the base of our spine, and the spine and the chain and the weak link and all that kind of stuff. They're going to continue to target it. I find it, I understand where you're coming from with Fabianski, and I share the same fear that he will start him simply because of the amount of football that he played him in pre-season. I find it staggering that he wouldn't play Almunia. If it was left, you know, a straight choice between the two, Almunia for me is the only option.
Well, for me as well. Mm. But I'm just, my hunch is that he'll go for Fabianski.
Right. Okay, well, let's not...
Almunia in a sort of untenable position, really. I mean, I think it's almost certainly on his way out of the club, whatever happens.
Amazing, really. It's hard to get your head around. Let's look a little bit further up the pitch. Midfield could be an issue because Cesc Fabregas is only just back from the World Cup. Robin Van Persie, he's also just back. But Danielsson hasn't played in pre-season. Diaby hasn't played in pre-season. Neither has Alex Song. So it's unlikely that any of those will be playing against Liverpool. Mm. That leaves us with a position where we've got Nasri, Rosicki, Frimpong, and Jack Wilshere left. Would you play Cesc Fabregas on Sunday, given the fact that he's been to Mexico and everything this week?
Well, I mean, that is a hell of a trip. He played 45 minutes out of Mexico. He might not even be back until the early hours of, you know, Friday today. I think that I would be tempted, if he passes his physical tests on Friday, to throw him in. Mm. It's not like he... First of all, he plays in a three. So while the demands, physical demands, are significant, they're not the same as they might be if we were... You know, he doesn't have to get up and down to that degree, especially if he plays a little bit deeper. Sami Nasri's been playing in that offensive role. And in the absence of Song and Danielsson and Diaby, maybe Fabregas could sit a bit deeper, just bring some stability to the side and ability to keep the ball, some composure. If there's any way he's fit, I think he's got to go in, because as good though Emmanuel Frimpong has looked in pre-season, this is a hell of a step up. He's never started a match for Arsenal, even in the Carling Cup, let alone the Premier League at Anfield. Mm. You know, we could go into the game with Wilshere and Frimpong, who've never started a league game for us, and they're both 18 years old. For me, that would be a big, big ask against the likes of, you know, Gerard, Mascherano might play, although he seems to want out. It could be a really, really tough ask. And if there's a way that we can get Fabregas or one of the other players, I agree it looks unlikely, into the 11, then that would be sensible for my money.
Any worries going forward? I know Bentner's out injured, but I mean, we've been banging the goals in pre-season. Even if we let in five against Warsaw, we scored six. So in forward positions, we're in a relatively healthy state.
Yeah, and I think there's no imperative to rush Robin van Persie back. You know, he could be on the bench maybe, but I think, you know, we've got Maren Chamakh now. He gives us something new. Andreas Sharvin played a good stretch for Russia. He seems to have recovered from his muscle problem. Nasri's been in great form. Walcott had one of his best games of pre-season for England the other night. So we've got a few options. Aboué played for Ivory Coast, and he was great out in Poland. We've got a few options there. I have no real concerns going forward. It's at the back that I'm worried, and that includes that defensive midfield area. Mm. And that's why I might be tempted to draft Fabregas back in if he's ready.
All right, Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Gunnerblog.com is where you'll find Gilberto Silva. Thanks very much to him. And the big question, of course, is he going to play Cesc Fabregas on Sunday? The cons we know about. He's been to Mexico. He's only just back from the World Cup. And that's kind of the only cons I can think of. The pros, Alex Song is out. Danielsson and Diaby both face fitness tests. Neither of whom have played a minute of preseason football because of injury. Cesc might not be 100% what you'd call match fit, but he's not injured. As well as that, it's not like the old days. He went all the way to the World Cup final, didn't really play all that much for Spain. Let's face it, played an important role in the final, but didn't play that much in all the games. And it's not like the old days where the players went on holidays. He hasn't been in Santa Ponza drinking litres of Carling and eating fish and chips and burgers for, you know, the best part of 3 weeks, coming back looking like Mickey Quinn. And I reckon, knowing Cesc Fabregas in the limited manner that I do, that he would want to play on Sunday, knowing that his team needs him. Because we face the trip to Anfield going in with Jack Wilshere and Frimpong, who, as we just spoke about, are two 18-year-olds who've never started a league game for us. And this is not like playing Blackpool at home on the first day of the season where you could possibly leave out Cesc. This is one of the most difficult away games in the calendar. The start of the season, you don't want to be dropping points on the first day of the season. So I suspect there'll be Fabregas involvement on Sunday. Whether it's from the start or not, I don't know. He might think that if he needs him, he can throw him on, rather than him running out of steam and then needing him and having nobody to put on, if you know what I mean. But I suspect there'll be some Van Persie or some Fabregas involvement. Van Persie, I don't quite know. I think he'll be on the bench as well. Bentner's out. Vela's just back from Mexico. We know it takes him time. But the injury situation is a little bit bad at the moment, going into the first game of the season. And, of course, we're all waiting for the signings, aren't we? We don't know who's going to play in goal. It's scary to think that it might be Fabianski. I can't believe that he would actually play Fabianski when he's still got Almunia at the club, who is, by far and away, by general consensus, people who are Arsenal fans and not Arsenal fans would say that Almunia is a better goalkeeper than Fabianski. They would say that inanimate carbon rod is a better goalkeeper than Fabianski. I mean, he could go in there and play a brilliant game. He could. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. But then I could win the Euro Millions tonight. And if I do, I wonder how much it is. Because it's one of those really big ones, like 100 million euros, I would buy Arsenal a goalkeeper, a proper one. Not a 2 million euro or 2 million pound Australian coming to the end of his career. No, a proper goalkeeper. That's what I'd do. Yeah. I'd want something in return for it. I probably want them to sign people with funny names so I can make characters out of them on the Arsecast. So that's it. So anyway, I don't know what else to tell you other than the new season is about to start. I'm excited and nervous. A little more nervous than I was this time last year, I have to say, because the squad still needs work, for sure. It still needs work. And I just hope we can get through to the end of the end of the month or until we get some signings in. And it doesn't cost us, because we've no Juru, we've no centre-half backup apart from Nordveit, who again hasn't ever started a league game for us. So we're going into this season not as prepared as perhaps we should have been. But then it's the start of the season, and you have that optimism, that pre-season start of the season, haven't lost any games yet, even though I've just seen us concede 5 to Legia Warsaw. Still got that little bit of, you know, well, it's all level now, optimism. Mixed with fear and a bit of poo, I think. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Sunday. And hopefully we can do the business. Whether it's the Mungy Russian or somebody to make the Mug Smasher feel bad. I don't care who it is. I quite fancy a draw in this one. If I had some money to put on a draw, I think that's what I'd do. And it wouldn't be the worst result in the world. So we're going to leave it there for this week. There'll be plenty more to talk about in the weeks ahead. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you all next week on the blog. And of course, on next week's Arsecast. Until then, take it easy. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, Arsene. I know you was expecting Ivan, but you're going to have to deal with me. He's off arsenalising the stadium. Bloke never stops. Last time I saw him, He was hanging a poster of Lee Chapman somewhere in club level. Anyway, he sent me to get through this transfer business, and if I don't come back with all the boxes ticked, I'll go mental. Anyway, let's talk first about goalkeeper. We've discussed this, and the board is quite prepared to go out and spend as much money as you like on a goalkeeper, whichever one you want. Best one in the world, don't matter. All you have to do is spend 5 minutes in the company of James Corden. Yeah, the fat bloke off ITV, yeah. Right, keep the ones you have then. All right, that's good, nice and easy. Now, centre-half, we know you need a centre-half, because they've all gone and left, haven't they? Gallas, Sylvester, and the other bloke, the beefy fella. Oh, Sol, yeah, he's gone too. No problem, whatever you want, we'll dish it out. All you've got to do is go to a lecture by Jamie Redknapp on the future of football, entitled "He's Only Gone and Come In on the Back Post Like a Proper, Proper Player," and Jamie will be wearing the tightest pair of Farrah slacks you ever saw in your life. But go along, 90 minutes, you can have whatever centre-half you like. Right. What do you say, is that Nordinger? Nord what? Norwegian, is it? Or oh, I don't matter. I'll stick it down here, Ivan will know. And finally, defensive midfield player. We know you want one of them. You've been talking about one for ages. We was going to get you one at Christmas, but never mind. Something came up. No problem. You pick, we pay the money. Simple, easy. All we need you to do is say six little words. John Terry is not a cunt. All you got to do is sit there and tell me John Terry is not a cunt, and we'll go and buy you the best defensive midfield player in the world. John Terry is not a cunt. Just say it back to me and we'll do it. You can't. You won't lie to me like that. It's what I've always admired about you, Arsene. Man of principle. You are a man of principle.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.